PHP Radio
on the Hackers Paradise Podcast Network,
your number one source for all things golf.
Subscribe on iTunes to never miss an episode.
And we are back. It's Off Course episode number 4. They let us come back, Dan.
I don't know why. I had fun last week. I think you did.
I had a good time last week. I thought it was an enjoyable conversation. And apparently enough people didn't vote us off the island.
Oh, it's good to be back here, Rob.
Yes, our May 8th podcast for Off Course. We have a lot to discuss today and hopefully keep it under about a 45-minute mark, as that seems like everybody says, hey, don't talk so long. You talk too much.
Yeah.
So you want us to do less work, just comment below. We appreciate that. So number one, please follow us. So whatever you're using, SoundCloud, iTunes, something like that, where you're listening to this, please follow us and our other podcast on the THP Radio Network, Range Days and Golf Unfiltered. As always, you can check us out on thehackersparadise.com. I'm Rob Miller, aka Rob Miller Time on social. And with me is Dan Edwards, Canada and Golf on social. And we're brought to you today by Squares Golf, which is a performance-based golf shoe for the modern swing that provides extraordinary comfort, balance and ground connection and alignment on every shot. And I had a chance to play with Squares on my feet this weekend. And boy, I tell you, I really like them because they are they're kind of hefty is not the right word. They're a substantial shoe, so there's weight to them. You know, these aren't like Addy Zeros or something like that. And I thought, like, wow, would these be heavy on the foot? And they're not at all. They were extremely comfortable. And of course, I hit every shot straight.
Well, I have a feeling you want to talk about them because out of all of our options to go in our topics list this week, you chose state of the game first. So it makes me feel, Rob, like you have something good to say about your first 9 holes of the year.
I did. It was a little spoiler alert. I talked last week about, do I even join? Do I re-up with my club? Yes, I did. I couldn't stay away. Had an 8:32 tee time. Only 9 holes at our club. That's not a Jersey rule. But if you remember, we talked about it's twosomes every 16 minutes, which is pretty ridiculous. So I did. I didn't go out with any practice. All practice facilities are closed. They don't even let you use the range at any facility in New Jersey, or they're not supposed to. But I got out there and I mucked it up. I had 3 pars and the rest were bogeys, which I was fine with. Honestly, I just wanted to get out there and enjoy the outside after these 2 months of isolation / golf boredom.
So you have one option for a playing partner. It wasn't me because I didn't catch that invite, and not that I would come to the East Coast right now and play golf because it doesn't sound particularly appealing.
You want to drive 1,000 miles
for 9 holes. So my 2 questions are, who did you play with and what did they do with the cups?
Okay, so the cups, I did start a thread today, like show us your hole on THP.
So you're talking about the THP forums, yeah. On active community. If you guys are looking for a place to talk golf, do make sure to come hang out with us, join, chat about the game we love, save your wife, as I've mentioned before, save your wife the hassle listening to your stories, because I promise you, someone like me or Rob cares way more than she does.
that's for sure. Normally I start talking about it and it's like, okay, she's gone.
I start talking to a wall.
So you know when to start talking golf or when not to start talking.
Right.
But the cups, there's PVC at the bottom, very loose PVC. So it's not like, it's not great, but it's certainly better than a raised cup in my opinion. So no issues really there. That's fine. I'm happy with that decision. I'm not going to get the benefit of a raised cup kind of hole out like some other people are, like that, you know, that ball is just trucking. There's no way it would drop in that 4.25-inch cup if it existed. So I'm glad that there is a cup there. So what do you have at your course?
So I have the exact same thing, which is great because I can still get a hole in one that's been Rob Miller approved. And I actually had kind of a Hadwin moment. I'm not going to lie to you. I'm jumping around on the THP forums and I made the comment that if they, because we've seen all this stuff like overreactions, plans to make changes moving forward, some big ones like two holes per green, two different tee boxes, stuff like really significant changes. And I thought to myself, I'm not so sure I would have the same sort of passion for this game if they had raised cups as a legitimate, this is going to be this way for a long time thing.
Yeah, raised cups is basically like the course telling you, like, yeah, we're just not going to give any kind of really effort,
right,
to do a raised cup. I mean, you know, you can't lip out on a raised cup, so that should not exist. I just don't think that should be something that should be allowed because it affects scoring. That's why. I don't mean don't go out and enjoy your golf, but if you were to get a hole in one on a raised cup, would you be excited and take that photo and keep that ball and get that certificate in the pro shop and everything? I mean, would you go down that route?
I wouldn't. Unless I one hopped it and stayed in the top, then I don't care. I might get two trophies for the price of one on that one. But yeah,
I know that Josh was saying something about that, and I think that's amazing. You know, that was right. That's yeah. Great.
I'm kind of a purist though when it comes down to the pin. I want to pull it. I want to see and or hear the ball drop all the way into the hole. Like even if I go to a putting green, if there are those you know, those like non holes,
yep,
where it's the little pin. The ball on the bottom is quite a bit wider. I don't even like putting to those things, man. So if it's raised cup, I might just, you know, I might just go full time with all this Pokemon Go stuff I've been doing with my son.
Yeah. Who doesn't, I mean, the practice screen, when you hear that little clink, you know, and you hear that the ball, whatever that, that cup is at the bottom of the cup, you know, pull the little flag stick out. You like that. That's good. You want to pull three balls out of there every time you practice to a particular a pin on a putting green. So I agree. The raised cup thing is not good. I think pool noodle might be superior because the PVC is really loose in there. So you're technically a couple times. I mean, you are touching places where somebody else could have touched.
I think it also depends on how high it is though. The nice thing about the PVC that I've experienced having played quite a few rounds, quite a few full non New Jersey nine hole rounds, with the PVC in the cup, I've noticed that it does support the ball going into it a little bit better. Now we've definitely had our share of balls bounce off some of the taller PVC setups. But you can see it give, and that's something the pool noodle will not be able to provide, is that limited amount of give when the ball goes in there. So
oh, that's true. Cause it does rock. It's not like it's glued in the bottom of the cup. That's a good point.
Yeah. So I think, and, as much as, yeah, you are sticking your hand in there, anyone who's sort of cautious can avoid touching it. Now I'm not anywhere near where I was, Rob. I had like fancy Lysol soaked napkins out there, paper towels in a bag, like wiping my ball off after every hole. I'm not doing that anymore. That's a little bit nuts.
Yeah, but you don't have to lug around a field hospital with you. So, I'll give you a little bit more on that. Is my friend of mine, he runs an ER in New Jersey, so he's been on the front line of this. And you know, New Jersey is a state that's been greatly affected by COVID-19, and he said that, you know, this is an airborne illness, so the chances of getting it from hand to hand, the only way is if you somehow touch something and then touch your face, you could get it somehow there. But even, you know, N95 masks are not needed. He it's like the reason you wear a surgical mask is essentially not to touch your face. So thank goodness. I saw some people show up at the course with masks on. And, you know, if you want to play with a mask on, that's fine. But you do realize we're on like, you know, 150 acres here. And just you're basically the whole time just trying to stay away from one person, which you can keep track of at all times. I think it's a little much, you know, to go full on mask bandito style, but if they wanted to, like, definitely not N95. You don't need that kind of stuff, and just wash your hands. That's really all you have to worry about. So, he was just giving me advice about the whole thing, and he was excited to get back out on the golf course. And it was kind of reassuring to hear those kind of things about it.
You know, there's a Charlie Brown character that I can think back to who always carried around a blanket with him and just had this like cloud of dust, you know, chasing him. You know what I'm talking about?
Yeah, that was Linus.
Yeah. So I think a lot of people perceive this experience to be like everyone is a walking Linus, but it's not dirt that's chasing them. It's COVID, like some sort of strange COVID cloud that chases them. Like,
oh, yeah, I think you're doing a character mashup, but there was a dude named Pigpen.
Pigpen, yeah.
You're thinking
not, yeah, not the towel kid.
Yeah, you're thinking about Pigpen.
The Pigpen, yeah. So this like Rona cloud that's around everyone that you walk around and like, if I smell the cologne that my playing partner is wearing, I'm in the threat to get COVID. I think my biggest question, Rob, is how this alters. Now, obviously, you guys are right on the front side, like very fresh, being allowed to get out there and play. But I think here in Ohio, now that we've been playing for a couple months now with these sort of altered rules to the game we love, there's definitely some feelings of like, we're not that concerned anymore. And I hope that everyone out there who is playing and is enjoying the game respects these requests that are being made by health officials, not just for ourselves, but definitely for others and the protections. But as Rob said, I think wearing a mask might be a bit much, but you know, if that's what makes you feel good, I say do it.
Yeah, exactly. If it makes you feel good, I'm not going to get to that point. The other point is that it's not out there as much anymore because we've been isolating for so long, you know, that it's tough to get, but it's an airborne thing. I mean, it's really what it is. Now you go to the store, I'm suiting up. I mean, I'm like Murder Hornet suiting up, you know, okay. like, you know, I'm ready. Those clothes are gone as soon as I, you know, get the groceries back in the house. But for golf, no, I was fine. And it was good to hear that from someone who's on the front lines, you know. But yeah. I think you're right, Dan. You bring up a good point, is that I think as the longer we go through it, the easier it is to kind of step back and forget and relax, I think is a word for it, right? So you still want to stay away. I heard rumors that to South New Jersey, we call it South Jersey, golf courses were closed by the state because people were not social distancing. They weren't paying attention to the rules. I think that's a tremendous waste of time, but that's apparently what happened. I think there's a lot more places you can go to a park and see more violations, quote unquote, than at a golf course, but they're taking it seriously. Just please. We extended our stay at home thing for 30 days, but apparently it could be lifted at any time. That was disappointing to hear. I'm just, you know, thank God for golf. Hopefully we'll be playing 18 and not supporting the USGA's Play 9 initiative, you know.
Right. Yeah.
Well, there's nothing wrong with that, but 9 holes is like kind of like, let's do 4.5 innings, you know. Yeah.
Can't even get to the 7-hole stretch.
Yeah, there's no Kate Smith or whatever, whoever sings God Bless America anymore.
On the plus side, my friend Rob, we have things to look forward to, not just at our own golf courses. Not only has the match round 2 been solidified, but there's also a very fun and entertaining sounding skins game coming together.
Yeah, I'm excited for that one. Was it driving relief? Is that what it's called?
Yeah.
It's a tailor-made thing. I thought it was, it sounds like when I first heard the driving, I'm like, what is that for? But it's not for like one of those bead mats for your car.
Right.
It's kind of a cool mashup. We've got DJ, right? We've got Ricky. We got Matt Wolf.
Interesting addition in Wolf. And I kind of like it. He's unique. He's got, I think he's got one of those names that might slowly start to grow. And he's got a move that everyone knows about by this time who does follow the game of golf. But then there's still the big boy.
Yeah. Don't forget about Rory. Of course. That's going to be interesting. Looking forward at Seminole, no less.
I'm pretty excited to watch that. I think as long as they can have a bunch of fun with it and I look at guys like Rory and Ricky will really embrace it. And you get a good idea that their character is going to come out pretty clearly. But then you have a couple question marks. I don't know what Matt Wolf is like when he's mic'd up. I've got an idea what DJ might be like when he's mic'd up, but I hope we see a different side of him. I hope he comes with a little bit of heat, some banter. I don't know. I don't think it's going to be like a post-round production of DJ.
Well, everybody just has to check out the old Rocket Balls commercial where they hand him the club for the first time and he looks at the sole and he goes, "What does it do?" It's like my favorite thing ever in a golf commercial. It's like, you look at it, it's just a question that doesn't even need to be asked. But regardless, I'm real. Oh no, it's yeah, it is similar. But I'm looking forward to it. I think being mic'd up. I think Wolf's a talker. He's got to be, right? So that's gonna be interesting. I'm looking forward to that. So that's a full week before the Tiger Payton Phil Brady match, which is 3 p.m. on the 24th.
So who do you think of the four of these guys comes out looking better? Who do you think comes out, gets a little nod from the fans? Who do you think plays the best there? Let's put a couple categories in it. First, who dominates? And second, who do the fans gravitate towards after the event? Not coming into it, but after.
I think that if you're a golf fan, as far as who you're going to gravitate towards, is Wolf, because it's different, right? It's a little different for him to be there, because you're used to, we were talking about this before we came and recorded, and we were saying, wow, it's not Jason Day. You know, it's like you'd expect Day to be part of that, or Rom, right? And they're not, for whatever reason. But I think that Wolf has the biggest to gain. I think he's probably the guy who you'll see the most personality out of two. But you know, Rory, Ricky, and Wolf I think they're kind of similar in that they're definitely not afraid to express themselves and things like that. DJ, I think, is the wild card there, you know, but I think everybody's going to really, I think it's going to cement how much they like Ricky during this. I just think, you know, Fowler's just kind of got that personality that's going to be good. But as far as dominance, as long as the first hole is played well, it'll be Rory.
It's Rory. You know, I knew you were going to say it.
You know, within the first hole, first two holes of a tournament, you can tell how Rory's going to play.
Okay. I think this event solidifies people's opinions of DJ. And I'll say that because I've long been a fan of Dustin. I enjoy the way he plays the game. I think his swing is unique enough that he's presenting it in his own perspective. I appreciate how hard he worked on a short game, which obviously led to some serious, some major success, I'll call it. but I always feel like he kind of, or I feel like he gets the raw end of the deal only because he's not that entertaining in his interviews. And this, I've watched a couple videos that TaylorMade's put out there, one where it's him and J-Day and Rory, and they're like calling the shot shape at the top of the swing. And they're like picking shots for each other, trying to snooker each other. And it was really fun. It was fun to watch him just be one of the guys. So I hope he has the ability to bring this to a different level from a more visible perspective and get people rooting for him again. Cause I'd like to see him win more, honestly.
Yeah. So you're saying that DJ will be kind of, will be better off because he's in his element.
Yeah. So I heard a story way back in the day with someone made some comments and made DJ out to just look like a dry or uninteresting, dull person. And I thought, man, that's a tough criticism about a guy. And I started watching his post on interviews, and he does seem a little bit stock. So I was told way back in the day where the questions just didn't seem interesting enough. And I thought, you know, I don't know how I would respond to those questions after a round of golf I had, unless it was something I was really interested in. So maybe we're just not seeing the entire depths of DJ. Maybe we just don't get that sort of side of him that really supports fan favorites the way you get out of a Justin Thomas or a Jordan Spieth or a Ricky Fowler or a Rory, where the interviews post round are a little bit more interesting, not to define their character or say they're any one way or the other. They just seem to be more interesting in the way they discuss the game after they've played.
So you're saying like the post round interview, like with Ricky, is like you're just talking to a dude, whereas like DJ, you're talking to the dude. Like
it's like, you know, right? Roma DJ. It's as informal as it can be, just so he can, you know, go back to his normal routine.
Well, I'm not going to Google it right now, but I'm sure there's plenty there. What I remember the most about DJ up there giving not a post round interview, but pre-tournament like press conference is they'll ask him something important about the tournament historically, and he has zero idea. He's like, he has no clue what happened or that Jack Nicklaus hit a one iron or from the fairway at Baltusrol or anything. He just has no interest whatsoever in history and just kind of like, I don't know, you know, like that's like the answer rather than some long thing even to try to make it up like I care.
Yeah.
So I think it's kind of that kind of like follows him in a way.
So maybe the right questions just aren't being asked. You know, I remember some of his big wins when he was on that big success train. Was it a couple years ago? And it was like, I didn't hear them hardly talk at all about a short game, which was massively improved year over year. All they wanted to talk about is how he was out driving the field or how did you have the confidence to hit your driver on this hole? And it's like the same story every week. And I suppose that gets repetitive. And to your point, I totally see where you're coming from a historical perspective, but the guys out there own it. I mean, Koepka owns it. That they're not, what's the word? They're not students of the game from a historical perspective. I mean, hell, I'm not even a student of the game from a genuine historical perspective. I enjoy the stories. I'll digest them when I can, but I certainly don't chase them. So maybe they're just not asking the right questions.
You know, I could listen. First off, I would love to, if you were to ask DJ a list of questions he would like to be asked at a press conference, please get me that list. I'd love to see it. It would be thoroughly entertaining. I'm sure.
I can only imagine. And it's funny because he's not in this Koepka mentality where Brooks says, you know, I'm just, people aren't paying attention to me. I'm not perceived in the way I should be. I'm not recognizable. All these comments he's making, that's like basically asking for the attention, whereas DJ is just like, eh, whatever.
Yeah, it is. You're right. They're kind of the same, but for different reasons.
Mm-hmm.
Right? That one doesn't care about the spotlight and one feels like, you know, I will say that if you're a defending champ and you're not on the list for being a, you know, for giving a pre-tournament press conference, that is definitely a problem. I mean, that's I'd probably feel that way too. But hey, you want to motivate Brooks? Please do.
Yeah,
I love to see pissed off Brooks. It's great.
Yeah, I mean, I'd love to see golf. So do whatever you guys got to do right now. Put all these dudes in spacesuits.
Yeah. So here's my question for, this is not off course, but it's about the course. When they come back, and I'm not talking for these setups are going to be fairly benign. Do you think when the tour comes back, supposedly in June, we're going to see some pretty, not cupcake, but definitely we're not going to see some quote unquote rough setups out there for these guys? Because the last thing they want to do, I've seen, there was a Callaway live stream today with Goosen, and he was just talking, he hasn't played in 2 months or whatever, and he was just all over the place. You know, he had a bunch of birdies wherever he played. I don't know if it was Sawgrass or what, but he had, you know, bunch of doubles, like three or four doubles and things like that. I don't think the tour would want them to look like they're struggling out there, because this has really impacted practice routines for these pros, regardless if they have an indoor simulator or not.
Yeah. That was going to be my question back to you, is obviously we have information from Retief Goosen saying how he played, but do we have information out as to how some of the guys who aren't established are practicing and improving during this time? I have no doubt that these guys have much better access than I do or you do. And if they don't have access in their home state, they can certainly find somewhere to go to that will provide them with the necessary access. So is the tour going to cater to those who have chosen not to play, or are they going to assume that there are guys out there that are still grinding, and this is an opportunity for them to showcase their skills.
Yeah, I don't know. I would think that the course setups will be a little bit easier. I'm not trying to, well, and kind of, especially right out of the gate, let's see what happens. You don't want these guys to struggle out there. We don't want everybody to look like they're playing the US Open. But it'll be interesting to see if we get some top shots or some really wild things that happen, right? Isn't the first tournament is out in Northern California, and we could see a couple shots in a vineyard here and there, I think. that could happen. You know, cool. It depends, I guess, how regimented the pro himself is for practicing. Some really like their practice routine. I mean, you know, Vijay all the time. He's practices probably all the time to get where he's going.
That's such a tough question. And I think it actually leads into an opportunity for us to discuss at a later time. I'm a guy who would love to see players just absolutely obliterate golf courses. I have no problem with plus 30 winning a golf tournament. I have no problem with that. So
you mean
minus 30. Yeah. Yeah.
I'd be in that tournament if it's plus 30.
Yeah.
Sign me up, baby.
Minus 30. Yeah. Minus 30 to win a golf tournament. So if they loosen the reins a little bit and the first couple tournaments back are just cakewalks where the guys go and those who did put the time in really showcase their skills and are making 8 birdies around. Yeah, dude, I'm in. I'll watch that from all angles that I'm provided because I'm jealous at that point. That's what I want to see. I don't want to watch someone struggle out there. I can do that going myself to the golf course and playing. So,
well, it's, yeah. So you're saying they're not going to grow the grass for these?
We need to put this one on ice. I think it's a good one for next week.
We can talk a little bit about that, but it's funny. Yeah. I was watching last night on Golf Channel that there was a Ben Hogan special. It was long, man. It was long. I got through most of it, but he went out somewhere and shot 64, and they interviewed him after the round or something. And he was like mad. They said, "Why aren't you happy?" And he's like, "There's no reason you can't go out there and birdie every hole." Ultimate. Wow, man, that's pretty intense.
It's par or worse on the first hole, and then you definitely can't birdie every hole after that.
that's true, but he was just, you know, different breed there. I wonder if we're gonna see some sort of, you know, maybe someone catches fire. We see like 58, 59 out there too. You never know. These guys are going to be so happy to be back. I don't think they're going to care that there's crowds or not. It's not going to make a difference in their mind. They're just probably amped up to get out there.
Well, speaking of amped up, Rob, I really want to get into another conversation, and it's been eating at me for the last couple of days. And frankly, it's been eating at me for years now.
You are anxious about this.
I don't understand, and I will never genuinely understand the idea of limited golf product and the flipping market. And I don't mean, I'm not trying to create a different word for the F word here. I mean the actual act of buying and reselling golf clubs, aka flipping.
The flipping market. That's what you're going to call it.
The flipping market. It's driving me nuts, man.
All right. So explain in specifics to our audience what you're talking about here. We're talking usually collectible things and mostly putters, correct?
Yeah. So
putter accessories.
I do feel like this is rampant in putter collectibles right now. Now, obviously, you have excellent products that are available from very well-known companies. Odyssey makes a great putter, TaylorMade, Ping. Cleveland, there's a handful of companies that make very, very efficient, nice looking putters. But then you have this whole separate market of boutique, and boutique just doesn't limit to the putters anymore. It's now an accessory. It's like the Instagram famous, Instagram driven collectible trinket market. So we're talking head covers, ball markers, divot tools, you know, things like that. And they're made in incredibly limited quantities, sold at a specific time. And the only thing that gives you the ability to get it is one, timing, and two, efficiency. So you have to be, you know, one of the first,
yeah,
like seconds onto a website to get these things.
So, yeah, so is my question. Was this spurred? Did this breaking point happen when you tried to get something?
No.
Usually that's when something like this really comes up.
Not
right?
Really. So actually the good example here is Scotty. There's great examples out there for a handful of companies. I mean, heck, we got a company like Swag who's embraced the whole thing and just laughed it off by making a putter cover called the Flipper.
Just, yeah.
You know, they joke about it, but I mean, it's as bad everywhere.
And but, by the way, I have no connection with Swag, but I think their covers are amazing. I think they do.
Oh yeah. They have a ton of fun with it. You can tell they do. And I know we have a large number of folks in the THP community who collect and love everything they're doing over there. So shout out for entertaining our people.
Yeah. No, but, I love good creativity, and they certainly have it.
And that's the big story there, Rob, is for example, this week, Scotty came out with his Cinco de Mayo release. And it's not really any different from any other company that's doing something like this. I'm just highlighting Scotty because it's a little bit more accessible from an interest standpoint to me, being that I've attempted to be a part-time sort of mini collector of his creative products over the last, you know, two decades or whatever the number is. But so the Cinco de Mayo release comes out and everything's sold instantly, as it were. You know, maybe people just, they got that, Rona money and said it's going straight into Scotty. That would be great. What ended up happening was within minutes, you have over 100 products flooding places like eBay, Facebook Marketplace, etc., at double the cost of what they come in there priced at on the website. And it's like, man, there's no intent to buy to keep. There's none. From these people, the only intent here is to flip for a profit. And it does not sit well with me.
I know it is. It's a necessary evil, which unfortunately we're never going to stop, but it sucks. There's no other way to say it. When you want something and you want to be able to purchase it, like, I don't even know who was doing it, but I bought into the Baby Yoda hype. I was trying to get a Baby Yoda putter cover from like I think it was I don't know, maybe a month ago. No, it was about 2 months ago. I forget who did it. Someone came out with they came out with a Cinco de Mayo version of it as well, but I didn't look at that. But I had it in my cart, and by the time I filled out my details to pay, it was already gone.
Gone.
Because yeah. that's part of, you know, you have to do your due diligence. Like, I should have set up an account ahead of time. And that way, all I'm doing is letting my browser fill in my password, that kind of stuff. You know, that's not, obviously, that's amateur hour as far as trying to get some sort of unobtainium product.
Yeah.
But I'll give you a little bit of insight is that I have a friend that works for Supreme. And Supreme, you know, they do collabs. They are the ultimate collab, right? You take a Igloo cooler, you put Supreme on it, and all of a sudden that Igloo cooler is worth $1,000. You know,
it's, yeah. Like, right.
It's ridiculous. And right. I mean, you know, a six pack Igloo cooler or whatever. I'm just giving an example. Sorry, Igloo, if you're not like your products are bad, but they fully expect that when they do a release, that a third will be completely taken by bots and flippers, period. Yeah. Every time they release something, it doesn't matter what it is. It could be a normally priced $4,000 pinball machine as a stupid example, and that will go for $30,000 on the site. And then that will be resold for $60,000.
Right.
Which is just, it's just insane how that stuff works. So it's the Supreme example is an extreme example, but I know exactly what you're talking about because I have tried to get things before just like that. Baby Yoda cover, couldn't get it.
Yeah. Yeah, it's kind of a helpless rant, and I knew coming into it that not only is it not going to be solved on this podcast, it's not of a similar opinion to a lot of people. The supply and demand is a great thing. Buying to make a profit, I guess, is capitalism at its finest. But, you know, I would love to be attacked on social media or agreed with, quite frankly, by those who feel the same way. You know, there's some pretty cool bags. And again, coming back to the Cinco release, there were some pretty sweet looking bags that were sold on the site, I would imagine, for around $350, flipping for $750 on these, or if not $1,000 on these resale locations. And I can definitely feel and relate to the frustration that comes around those guys who say, I really want this product, I want to use this product, and I don't care what money I'm technically sinking by not reselling it. This is an incredible concept. Someone's made this thing. I worry that some of these companies are just getting so big that those people who are getting into the game and like this creativity, as you mentioned, swag and how awesome their covers are, they're an absolute riot. I mean, I have the Canadian one they did last year sitting in my house. I actually had a Canadian friend buy it for me in Canada so I could have it. You know, I went to some pretty significant lengths to get it.
Oh, that's cool.
But I want these cool products to be more accessible to more people for a price that's reasonable to be paying. You know, that the prices that we're seeing in resale, they're tough, man. And it's not just golf, and I get that. It happens everywhere. Shoes are probably terrible. So I don't even know what a Yeezy is, but I know they cost way too much in resale.
I know. I agree with you there. They do cost way too much. It happens everywhere. It happens with, you know, Oakley sunglasses. It happens with Jordans, all kinds of different things. Vans did a collaboration with like Led Zeppelin last year. I tried to get them for my son, and they were gone. Everything was gone right away. And it's like, how's this possible? And you don't want to be buying someone's used sneakers. That's not the best thing.
That sounds awful.
In the golf thing, back in the day, I was doing a giveaway for TaylorMade during Driver Love. Remember the head cover, the R11S head cover that had the big heart on it?
Yeah, sure do.
So I was sent, TaylorMade sent me 12 of them. Well, 13, one for myself and 12 of them. They were getting flipped on eBay. Like before, I'm not from me or someone that I sent them to, but if you went on eBay, people were charging $500 for them. So I'm like, wait a minute. I've got that much in head covers just like sitting on my basement floor in a box. It's like, wow, that's amazing. And no, I didn't flip them or anything like that, because I knew, you know, 8 years later you'd yell at me. So I made sure I didn't do that.
You could afford a lot of limited Scotty stuff. And
yeah, but I still have that. I have one that is brand new in the plastic. And the other one that I've used before was there's a USA flag heart that has it, you know, so that type of thing. So I have a couple limited things, but I have one Scotty head cover, and it's old Smiley head cover from some limited, I don't even remember the putter, but I bought the putter on eBay, and then I wound up selling the putter and keeping the head cover because I like the head cover so much.
So the Scotty Grinder logo is exactly what my face does when I present this kind of discussion on social media or social elements. So once again, at Canadan Golf on Twitter, come and either praise my thoughts on this or blast me for how I feel, because I think I know it's not going to change. I'm not under the impression it's going to change. I just wanted to express how genuinely frustrated I've been that people don't have access to cool covers. And
yeah, you felt the pain. It just drives up the price, and you want it because you want to have it. You want to put it on your rack, or you want to put it on your putter and go out and play, or just have it to collect. Really stinks that kind of stuff happens. But, you know, the one you're showing me right now is not the Smiley cover that I'm talking about.
No, that's the Grinder, man. That's the Canadan face. Right. That is my logo right there.
That's it.
Yeah, man. But speaking of stealing and, you know,
speaking of monies,
speaking of monies in general, you sent me some interesting links earlier. We've got a little bit more time to talk about it. Lead us into this final 5 minutes of the podcast.
Yeah. So there is a Korn Ferry event that is going to occur at Sawgrass, and leading the charge into the field for Korn Ferry. And this is a momentous occasion because this is the first time Korn Ferry, I think, has been mentioned on Off Course. So that's something, guys, write down the time you're listening to this, because that's something you want to remember.
And it won't be the last, but yeah. I think we do get some more LPGA talk in here sooner than later.
We will. Vijay Singh is going with $81.3 million in career earnings, is going to be in this Korn Ferry event. And man, that has really stirred things up on the Twitterverse for sure.
So you 80 plus million dollars in career earnings, which good for him, but there are so many different takes that are, for a lack of better word, not thoughtful towards him.
Yeah, there's some Korn Ferry players like really going after him and saying, I'll tell you in your face, if you accept any winnings from this event, that you're a despicable human being, like kind of thing, like along those lines. I don't have the player up who I'll try to find it, but wow. You talk about, you want to, it seems like if you want to create a discussion, regardless of the year, just find out what VJ's doing.
So I meant to ask you this earlier. Have you considered cross-referencing that quote and see if he pulled it from a Vijay quote of about 17 years ago?
Oh yeah. I haven't seen someone say that. And why don't you let our listeners know what you're talking about?
So there was a pretty big event. Was that 17 years ago? Was it 03?
I think it was 2003 Colonial.
Was it three? Where a lady graced the PGA with her presence, and Vijay, of all the professional golfers, was one of the most vocally opposed to that monumentous occasion. And it's making me wonder, do these guys know their history who are on Korn Ferry? Are they going to remind Vijay that he is Annika-ing the Korn Ferry?
Yeah, I remember that. Dean Wilson was playing with Annika, and he said, I'll walk with you, you know, this type of stuff. Like, just crazy to think that nowadays that was a huge deal back in the day. But Vijay was a big opponent because, you know, this is taking a spot in the field from a pro, which is exactly what he's doing here, except Vijay's got almost $82 million like right. in the bank account, which is crazy. I know that he loves golf, but yeah, I would agree that there's really no reason for, unless they're just, I mean, they're not trying to draw crowds, right? So
I think the most important question here is, what is our perspective, or what is our perception on the Korn Ferry? Is it a tour with which to go and make a long-term living on, or is it a location where golfers can refine their skills and press on towards a greater future, which would inevitably be one of the professional golfing tours? If it's the latter, Vijay is incredibly in the wrong here. And I don't know why he would be even accessible to such a thing. If it's the former, is he doing any harm by just going and being a part of competitive golf? Because I get that. It's competitive golf in the right setting for the right individual is a lot of fun.
Yeah, I mean, maybe he just wants to play Sawgrass. He's just excited to play.
It's not cheap. You know?
It's not cheap. You know, they're working out that drainage issue. So it's tough to justify someone with that prolific a golfer going there and trying to beat others for prize money. You know, when these guys are struggling to try to get to the next level. So I obviously the rules allow it. I don't know under what rules that is, because the day I dive that far into the Korn Ferry Tour is the day I start worrying about myself. But he really probably shouldn't. It would be the right thing to do, but I don't know if that's the Vijay way, so to speak. I would say, hey, just you want to play, that's fine, but you're really affecting these guys' lives, not just a simple you know, four rounds of golf.
So why don't we leave this one wide open for our listenership, Rob? Let's take this one to social. If you have a strong opinion over who's going to come out of the skins game on top, if you have a strong opinion about the awful flipping that occurs in golf equipment, where you are in the state of the game, or more specifically, what you think about VJ's taking a spot on the Korn Ferry Tour, please reach out to us on social media. Again, Canadan Golf on Twitter, Rob Miller Time on Twitter, and Roberto, we do have an off course Twitter.
We do. Both Twitter and Instagram, off course THP. You can find us there too.
And don't forget, we do discuss each week's episode on the THP community forum. So please, if you're not a member there, come and join us, talk golf. And let's discuss some of these seriously hot topics that we've
brought. Yeah. And if you've got a wacky, I saw a hole out there on Twitter that was like an octagon, like a wooden octagon that people were putting at with a pin sticking out of it. If you've got something like that, look for the show us your whole chat that's in there, the thread. It's add a photo, because I want to see something wacky. That's the point of that thread.
I definitely want to see some craziness going on there. Rob, episode 4 in the books. I can't wait for another 400.
We did it. 404 episodes. That's our length of our contract. So that's good.
All right. Till next week, everyone. Thanks.
Yeah. Thanks for joining us.
THP Radio on the Hackers Paradise Podcast Network, your number one source for all things golf. Subscribe on iTunes to never miss an episode.